Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about two phones that everyone has been talking about. We've completed the reviews of both of them and here we are. Redmi K20 Pro is the first one and Redmi K20 is the second one. These are, how would I put it, Redmi's attempts to enter the flagship segment or the mid-range segment, I should say. Because so far the Redmi brand from Xiaomi has been limited to budget phones and we've been looking at the sub 15,000 price range as their strong point. Now, Xiaomi has never really been particularly strong in the 20,000 and above segment, but last year they tried to change that with the launch of the Poco sub-brand and the Poco F1. Now, we have two more phones in that price range which appear to be really serious contenders for the crown of affordable flagship and the best phone under 25,000 rupees, I suppose. So, the Redmi K20 Pro is the one that is gunning for the affordable flagship crown because it's taking on the Asus 6Z and the OnePlus 7 and to some extent even the OnePlus 7 Pro. Now, the Redmi K20 has been priced in such a way that it could be looked at as the best phone under 25,000 rupees. Okay, so first, let me introduce the people who are going to be on this podcast. Royden Sarejo, he is the one who's used the Redmi K20 extensively.
Namaskar.
And we have Aditya Shenoy. He is the one who's reviewed the Redmi K20 Pro.
Hello.
Alright, I'm your host Pranay Parab. So, let's begin this episode maybe by quickly talking about the pricing for these two phones, which has been a topic of a bit of a controversy. Now, the Redmi K20 Pro has two variants. I think 6GB RAM, 128GB storage and 8GB RAM, 128GB storage, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Or... No, so it has 8GB of RAM and 256GB of storage.
Yeah. So, the pricing for these two is 27,999 rupees and 30,999 rupees, respectively. Which makes the Redmi K20 Pro the most affordable smartphone that has the Qualcomm Snapdragon 855 processor. Now, the Redmi K20 is a smartphone that's been priced at 21,999 rupees for the 6GB RAM, 64GB storage variant. And there's also a second variant, 6GB RAM, 128GB storage. Yeah. So that's at 23,999 rupees. It has the Snapdragon 730 processor, which I don't think we've seen before in any other phone that's launched in India. Okay, so first, let's address this pricing controversy quickly because a bunch of people have been complaining online saying that these phones are overpriced. We've put up videos on our YouTube channel as well where people have been commenting saying that the Redmi K20 is overpriced, the K20 Pro is overpriced. What do you guys think? Where is this coming from and is this justified?
Well, first of all, the Redmi K20 Pro, I think it's not justified for people saying that it's overpriced because tell me one other phone that has a powerful processor like the 855. And it's priced under 30,000 rupees. There's absolutely no smartphone manufacturer has a model that is as powerful and is priced this aggressively. So I think it's kind of unjustified for a smartphone like the Redmi K20 Pro, at least. And for the Redmi K20, I would say, well, fine. It's. I think it's the first smartphone in India with a Qualcomm Snapdragon 730 SoC. Yep. And even when you look at the pricing, I believe it's 21,999. It's not bad. I would say when you look at the Samsung Galaxy A80, which also has the Qualcomm Snapdragon Ace, the 730, and that is priced at about 47,000 rupees. Mm. So I don't see how the Redmi K20 series smartphones are overpriced.
Yeah, okay. So, Royden, do you have any thoughts on the pricing of these two phones?
Aditya said, I think the major reason why people reacted in that way is because I think the K20 immediately followed the Realme X, and Realme had already set a pretty high bar when it came to offering those kind of features. Because on paper, I mean, if you just look at it on face value, the K20 and the Realme X look pretty similar. I mean, sure, apart from a few missing cameras in the Realme X, like you still get that pop-up front camera, you get an in-display fingerprint sensor, you get that all, no notch, no hole punch design. And Realme managed to price it at 20, like at the highest variant was still 19,999. And I think many people went into the launch thinking that, Redmi is surely going to beat Realme in this case and, price it even lower than that. And when they didn't, that is what sort of, triggered them and really upset them.
Yeah, so I guess partly this happened because of the expectations Xiaomi has set for itself.
True.
Particularly with the Redmi brand. So if you look at the Redmi brand, like since the time they launched this brand in India, it's been known to sort of disrupt the market by offering these phones at ridiculously low prices. And I guess people were expecting something like that with this one as well.
But when you look at the Redmi K20 and the K20 Pro, it is doing that, isn't it? It's the most aggressively priced Qualcomm Snapdragon 730 and the Snapdragon 855. I honestly don't know what people are expecting. Do they want what the 730 at 15,000 rupees and the 855 at 20,000 rupees?
I think even if Xiaomi gave them that, they'll still find a reason to complain.
They'll say, yeah, bahut mehenga, bahut mehenga.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely. I think the pricing is totally fine. And now that we've completed the reviews as well, it's hard to find any other phones that offer this level of build quality and performance around similar prices. Now, if you tell me something such as, say, the Oppo F11 Pro, which is, I think, the phone, it had a pop-up selfie camera and a Snapdragon 660 processor.
Yeah.
And that was priced at 24,000 or something like that.
24,000, 25,000.
Yeah. So if you tell me that that's overpriced, I'll take the point. That's fair enough.
What people are going ahead and buying it just because it's Oppo and the shopkeepers are chipcawing it, so people are fine paying that much for that Oppo.
Yeah.
And then you have a few, and I think this is a select bunch of people on the internet who are going to be crying about the Redmi K20 series being overpriced. I think these guys need to be neglected.
So based on our testing, we can safely say that the value for money aspect on both of these phones is pretty much through the roof. Sure, I mean, you could say that there are other complaints with the two phones, which we'll get to in a bit. But the pricing, I don't think, is a problem. Okay, so first, let's talk about the design of these two phones. Now, I should just remind everybody that the Redmi K20 and the K20 Pro have identical design. I personally could not see any difference. And the funny thing is, our review units were both the blue color variants.
Yeah, yeah. Sapphire blue or whatever.
Glacier blue.
Glacier blue.
Yeah, so glacier blue variants. The same gradient pattern has been used on both. And if you put them side by side, I mean, you probably won't be able to tell the difference between them. Because if
when you look at these two smartphones, I think one reason or one method that Xiaomi has used to get the price down is that these two are identical. So the Redmi K20 and the K20 Pro have the same display, have the same size. The back panel is exactly the same. The color options are the same, I believe. The triple camera setup is exactly the same, while the primary sensor is different. Like, they've used two different sensors. Like, the K20 Pro has the better sensor, the K20 doesn't, and the pop-up selfie camera is the same. I think so that way there's really hard to distinguish, and that is one of the reasons why they could pretty much order parts in bulk, helping them get the price down. And that is an approach that they've taken. So even if you pick the Redmi K20, you're not really losing out on much.
Yeah, except for the processor and the camera sensor, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
now, I'll point out one complaint that I have with the K20. That is, the base variant has very less storage. 64 GB for the base variant, and consider the fact that it doesn't have expandable storage. Now, that could be a problem for a bunch of people who are expecting this, because Xiaomi has been known to be a company that offers a dedicated micro SD card slot in most of its phones, and some of them, such as I think the Redmi Note 7 and the Redmi Note 7 Pro, and these phones had a hybrid dual SIM slot, and people are complaining about that. Now, a phone without expandable storage, with the 64 GB being the base one, that is a bit too much to expect people to live with.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. I mean, this is 64 GB of storage, and you have to remember that you obviously cannot use all of it, right? A chunk of it is already taken up by the OS. And MIUI is not a very light skin on top of Android, so you're left with, again, a pretty limited quantity which you have to sort of ration through the 1 or 2 years that you'll be using the phone. So yeah, if you're not going to store a lot of things, even if you don't store a lot of media files, I think if you just are an avid WhatsApp user, you download a lot of all those forwards of images and videos a lot, you will find that internal storage filling up pretty quickly. So, I think that is, a little limiting. I mean, I'm not sure why they opted out of the micro SD card, which is kind of weird, because even like Realme did the same thing with the X. So I'm not sure the thinking behind that. But definitely the 128 GB would be the one to look at for, both phones, because like you said, like 64 GB can be it does feel a little limiting.
Yeah, so that's one complaint I had with this phone. Now, let's quickly talk about the software, since that brings me to the other complaint that I've had with many Xiaomi phones. There have been way too many ads, and this time Xiaomi has gone out there and said that ads will be less compared to what you've gotten before. So what has your experience been, and do you think people still have a right to complain about ads?
Well, on the Redmi K20 Pro, I can say that they haven't completely gotten rid of ads, but yes, the frequency at which they used to pop up on in the notification shade has gone down. So you'd still get like at least about like one ad in every 2 or 3 hours. That's what the frequency is like currently, compared to the last time wherein it was pretty frequent. You'd get at least like one ad in an hour maybe, and multiple apps were doing it. So they've reduced that frequency, so it isn't as troubling as it was. But I would have liked if they would have eliminated ads entirely, because, man, come on, it's a 30,000 rupee smartphone. Yeah. I don't want to see ads on it.
Yeah, and also like, even if you forget the ad problem on it, that first party spam notification problem is, I mean, we've had this complaint for a while now, where I think we had done an article sometime last year, March 2018 or so, where we spotted some not safe for work ads on Xiaomi phones. And we saw the same ads showing up on the K20 or similar ads under the fashion and beauty categories in particular. So you don't want to be seeing these kind of notifications coming constantly from these first party apps. Now, I understand that Xiaomi wants to push its own content and monetize the phones even after they've been sold, but I don't think this is right. And I think Xiaomi should definitely discontinue this. Although, you know, the chances of that happening are pretty slim right now, unless Xiaomi launches a phone that costs 50,000 rupees, at which point they'll have absolutely no excuse to bundle all this garbage on the phone. Yeah. I don't have a problem with manufacturers bundling their own apps, but I do have a problem when these apps start spamming you with random notifications throughout the day, which you don't really need.
Well, I believe, see, it's one thing that, you know, people who've bought it, they will be getting ads, and they don't know that, you know, it's a part of the package, because when they are showing the presentation and all, they'll talk about their big displays, powerful processors. They don't mention about the ads popping up every now and then. And someone who's looking at it and like, okay, this looks like a good phone, they go ahead and buy that. And well, the ads are a part of the experience, and they've anyways paid full money for it. It's not like it's subsidized just because it's showing you ads, because I think in the US you have got phones from Amazon which are subsidized, but they do give you ads on the lock screen. Now that is acceptable because you've agreed to that, you know, to pay a lower point in exchange of ads that will be shown on the lock screen. It's nothing like that on Xiaomi, and I think that should have been the case. Like, they should have subsidized it, or should have clearly mentioned that, okay, at this price you're going to get ads, and maybe spend a little extra if you don't want ads on it.
Yeah, so what we really need is Redmi K20 Pro with stock Android and no ads and guarantee of updates at maybe 1,000 or 2,000 rupee premium.
Well, I would pay 5,000 extra for it.
All right then. So now let's talk about the cameras, because that's the one aspect that a lot of people want to know a lot about. So I think the K20 Pro has the better camera, but then, you know, let's maybe first talk about the more affordable phones, the K20. So Royden, your thoughts on the camera?
So the cameras are actually surprisingly good. So we have three of them. There is, I think, 48 megapixel main, and then we have a wide angle and a telephoto. So that's a pretty good set of cameras to have. Of course, considering it is above 20,000, so you would expect to have slightly more features. In terms of, I think the image quality is pretty good. We shot in a bunch of different scenarios, and in daylight especially, the K20 is able to capture really good details, good colors, is able to balance the exposure very well, and even dynamic range is pretty decent as well. Even in close-ups, it does pretty well. I mean, we didn't have any issues. It's also got really good focusing, just like the Realme X, so autofocus speed is really quick when you're shifting between subjects. That is something we liked. In low light, I think this is one area where the K20 is not that good, or could be better. So it's what it does is that, compared to other phones in around this price, it tends to sort of, you know, apply like a denoising filter to get rid of the noise in the scene. But in doing so, like, obviously the images look clean, but it also flattens out a lot of textures. So in cleaning up the noise, it also takes a lot of finer details that you would see in objects, like, you know, textures on a wall or a car or a tire or something like that. So it just looks a little flat. So yeah, like, on the face of it, it looks cleaner than a regular image shot in like low light, where you would see a little bit of noise, but then there's not a lot of detail that's captured in it. Now there's also a night mode, which Xiaomi has been using since for a while, But it's not as good as, say, a competing night mode on a similarly priced phone like a Realme X. So, in fact, we are in the middle of doing like this camera overall comparison between this the X and the M40. And the X is clearly ahead when it comes to, you know, detail and colors, especially when you're using the night mode. So that is one area where it falters a bit. But overall, it's pretty good. Videos is also pretty decent. You do have 4K video recording. And the one thing that where it does sort of stand out is the selfie camera. It's got a 20 megapixel selfie camera, which is good for good light. So if you have under good lighting, the cameras are pretty decent. You get a lot more detail on your subject as well as like background objects, whereas the others don't have that kind of detail. Although I do find it does tend to sharpen the face or the selfies a little too much, so it looks, you know, a little too sharp or a little too vivid. Yeah, the selfies don't look too natural. Minor complaint, which probably they can fix with like a software update, just maybe tweak the algorithm.
I mean, anyway, most people over sharpen it on Instagram before uploading.
Exactly. So yeah, you have like, I think, like an Instagram ready photo right out of the box over there. And in low light, again, I think it's not very good. But then again, most camera phones in this price range are not very good in low light. It does have a pretty good screen flash, which is something I quite liked. And looking at the other cameras, I mean, you have the wide angle, which is super handy because, you know, you can capture a lot more. You can get some interesting perspectives, which you cannot do, obviously, with a normal camera. And you even get that telephoto camera, which under good light, you can capture. It gives you a lot more detail rather than doing a 2x digital zoom from any other phone in that price range. So overall, pretty good. I think a good set of cameras, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, most of it is good news. I just hope that, you know, at some point we reach a stage where low light camera performance is good even in this price range. That's the one
thing. I'm sure we are getting there because, I mean, look at what we had even a few years ago, right? Even at 20,000, we didn't have like the image quality from cameras. We, first of all, just had single cameras everywhere. Now we are like having, we are spoiled for choice with like three and even four cameras at around 20,000, 25,000. I think Samsung A9 is now around 25,000 that has four cameras at the back. The first phone with four cameras on that price point. So pretty crazy. And I'm pretty sure in a few years, we definitely would get that level of quality that we see today in today's flagships. So, just a matter of time, I guess.
Let's hope. Already, I think the Motorola One Vision had a pretty solid night mode the recent phone launches. Unfortunately, the overall package in that phone was not as impressive. Anyway, so Aditya, most of the things Royden has said, I suppose it applies to the phone you reviewed as well, the K20 Pro. So the primary sensor, I'm guessing, was a little different.
Yeah, so it's a 48 megapixel sensor, but it delivers 12 megapixel photos by default because I believe it uses 4-in-1 pixel binning. The second sensor is a 13 megapixel ultra wide angle sensor, and it's got a 124.8 degree field of view, so it's really wide. So it does help you click those landscape shots better, and the telephoto lens offers 2x optical zoom, easier to click as well. In terms of focusing, I found the K20 Pro to be really quick, and that's primarily because it has got laser autofocus as well as PDAF. And one thing that which Xiaomi talked about in the presentation was that the 20 megapixel pop-up selfie camera actually has a sapphire lens, which helps prevent scratches. And that, I think, because you have that pop-up selfie camera going up and down constantly if you're using face unlock, so even if the dust or grime gets in the way, the lens is not going to get scratched because it's doing that. So in terms of photo output, we found it to be really good. The daylight shots were good, and even while I was clicking landscape shots, so text at a distance on buildings and stuff was still legible, and that was good. So clicking with the wide angle, there is a correction on it that can be applied itself. Otherwise, you will notice barrel distortion, but I've seen that the edges do appear a little stretched when you apply this correction in the camera app itself. When it comes to clicking portraits, now in the portrait mode, it really gets edge detection right. And it also offers a good bokeh effect. Macros were really sharp. In low light, I've noticed that it's better clicking with the night mode enabled because that helps. It results in a brighter image, and the noise is also slightly lower. It does not apply any aggressive sharpening filter, so that is good. In terms of selfies, one thing I did observe with the K20 Pro is that because the selfie camera pops out, I had to always angle it in such a way that, you know, I'm in the center of the frame because the selfie camera juts out. Mm. And because of which, you know, I have to tilt the phone inwards in order to be center in the frame. And that is something I think people will have to get used to because that is not something you do by default.
The selfie camera is also on one side of the phone. That's not exactly in the center, right?
Yes, I would say even if it's on one side, on phones with a hole punch display, it isn't as much. So what they could have done is probably angled the selfie camera in such a way that, you know, at a set distance, which is an arm's length, you would still be in the center of the frame.
Mm.
Because on a selfie camera, primarily people would do handheld shots. And not, you know, this thing with a selfie stick. So that is how the camera performed. In low light, I think, it does it well with night mode. But again, with the wide angle sensor and the telephoto as well, in low light, I noticed that the wide angle is slightly more noisy.
Mm.
Like you do get a lot of grain. So it's ideal to click with the primary sensor itself and not the other two sensors.
Okay. So both of you have summed it up pretty nicely. I guess anyone who wants to decide whether they want to buy these phones for their cameras, they have their answers right now. So let's quickly talk about two things right now. First of all, performance, and second is display. So let's talk about the display first, because I guess it's pretty much identical on both phones. So your thoughts on the display? I mean, obviously it's a very good thing to not have any notch or any hole punch or any other distracting elements on screen, but otherwise, how is the display performance
On the K20? I mean, no real complaints. I think they're the same displays.
Yes, so it's a 6.39 inch AMOLED display. It's a full HD plus panel, but there is HDR support on it. So it's really good.
I especially like the brightness. Like, it gets really bright. In fact, Xiaomi claims that it can reach a peak brightness of 600 nits, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, so that's definitely good to hear that, you know, there are no complaints. But I want to hear more about how the HDR thing works and whether, you know, you are happy with the overall performance or not.
Yeah, so HDR, since it's an HDR panel, it's HDR by default. So if you're watching HDR content, the darker areas are also brighter, and overall the colors look much better, they pop. So that is one thing I liked about the K20 Pro, and I'm also doing a comparison when I'm checking it with the Asus 6Z and the OnePlus 7, and I can give a bit of a teaser that it's better than the other two.
Okay. All right. So, Rodin, you also pleased with the display, right? Overall?
Oh, yeah. Overall, I think it's a fantastic display. Really punchy colors, deep blacks, thanks to the AMOLED panel. Yep. Viewing angles are also really good. And
at this point, I'd also like to bring up that these are the first Xiaomi phones with AMOLED displays.
Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, I did not. Yeah, I didn't realize.
And probably the first Xiaomi phones with pop-up selfie cameras.
Cameras as well.
Yep. And first Xiaomi phones to have HDR. Not the first Xiaomi phones to have USB Type-C ports, right?
And not the ones to have ads. Yeah. The first ones to have ads.
Yeah. I guess, have any other Xiaomi phones that we've seen in India skipped expandable storage?
Yes, the Mi A2.
Oh, okay, yeah, Mi A2. I'd forgotten about that. That was one of the first Xiaomi phones without a headphone jack. Anyway, so without getting distracted, let's come back to the performance. Now, Redmi K20 Pro, Snapdragon 855.
Yes.
So I suppose blazed it in every test.
Yes, so benchmarks, they do score high. I would say it's not the highest here. The OnePlus 7 is still higher. And I think, the UFS 3.0 storage might be one of the reasons for it to be a little high as well. And apart from that, yes, even when it comes to games and stuff, it can play games at the highest possible settings, because PUBG Mobile, it did default to the high settings, but still I went in, set it to, HDR, which is, I think, high resolution and ultra frame rates. And even with those settings, it could play it without any lag or stutter. It was very smooth. So no issues there in terms of performance. But yeah, if I were to compare it with the other two, it's not the fastest.
Okay, then. All right. So a bit of real-time follow-up here, thanks to a friend of the podcast. He's called Ali Pardiwala. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Mi Mix 3 also had an AMOLED panel. So I guess the Redmi K20 and the K20 Pro.
It's a Mi phone. The first Redmi phone.
So, first, not the first Xiaomi phone to
have. Yeah, not the first Xiaomi phone.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So, Royden, Snapdragon 730 on the Redmi K20, are you happy or are you just, experiencing some problems or what?
Not at all, in fact. 730 is a pretty solid chip. This is the first phone that we've seen to have the 730. And it's a brand new chip from Qualcomm. So, you even have a much more power efficient fabrication process. It's built on the 8 nanometer compared to like 10 and 11, which is that in 10 nanometer was the 710 and 11 nanometer was the 675. Again, popular chipsets which are around this price. But yeah, overall, a pretty solid CPU and GPU performance. No heating issues at all. And I think thanks to that smaller fabrication, we also managed some excellent battery life on this. So overall, a very powerful chip. And, you know, for just 2,000 rupees more than the competing phones, like let's say the Realme X with the similar design and features, I think it's a pretty solid offering.
Yeah, so again, I don't think there's much to complain about here, but I just like feel bad about the fact that Xiaomi had to write an open letter to its fans explaining the price of these two phones. I don't think there's much to justify here. They've priced it fairly for what the phones offer. In fact, I would go so far as to say that with the Redmi K20 Pro in particular, I think the pricing is really aggressive. Mm-hmm. Only time will tell how aggressive the pricing of the Redmi K20 is because of the processor being relatively new in India. So we'll see what competitors have to offer on that front for sure. Okay, I think the final thing we need to speak about is the battery life of these two phones, and then we can wrap this episode. So you guys happy or sad?
Yeah, pretty happy, I think, all around. Like I just said, battery life is pretty solid. In fact, this thing, the K20 ran for over 24 hours in our battery loop test. So our battery loop test is, for those who don't know, is basically we use an HD video and just play it in loop just so we have some consistent results, you know, and it's just easier to compare as well with very less variables. So we play it in loop till the battery dies from zero with like a fixed brightness, and we have a some bunch of fixed parameters in place. And with that, it managed to run for more than 24 hours, which is really impressive. But then again, it also has the biggest battery. I mean, in the sense, biggest battery among the other phones in this price range. It's got a 4,000 milliamp hour battery. So I'm guessing that coupled with the efficient chip is how it's managed to pull this off.
Yeah. Impressive.
No, because for the Redmi K20 Pro also, it's the exact same battery capacity, 4,000 milliamp hour. And there is support for Qualcomm Quick Charge 4.0 on both these smartphones. So you will be able to use a faster charger. Now, in the box, you get an 18-watt charger only. But Xiaomi has also launched a 27-watt charger, which they call Sonic Charge adapter. So 1,000 rupees, I think it's a worthy investment if you're buying the Redmi K20 or the K20 Pro. You need to go in for that. And in terms of battery life, the K20 Pro went on for 19 hours in our HD video loop test, and with regular use it went on for a day and a half very easily. And if you're frugal with it, 2 days is not going to be a problem. It again, see, battery life is very, very subjective because it depends on what you're doing actively with the smartphone and what your smartphone is doing in the background. So if you have a lot of apps that are constantly pulling streams like Facebook, Instagram and stuff, it's constantly downloading stuff in the background, you're not going to have the best battery life. But in again, if you're using very basic apps, you will be able to go even beyond 2 days. So it all depends on how you use your smartphone.
All right then. So with that, we can pretty much safely sum up the fact that the Redmi K20 Pro and the Redmi K20 both are fairly good smartphones. And if you look at the price range and the competition, then you could even say that they are great smartphones. And I suppose both could easily say that they are among the best smartphones under 30,000 rupees. So with that, we'll wrap this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you have any questions, comments or feedback, you can write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And finally, if you like the show and if you enjoy what we do here, please rate the show, please review it and subscribe to it. These things, they help us a lot. You can do that on your favorite podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts on iPhone, Google Podcasts on your Android phone or any other app of your choice. Thank you so much for listening.